Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Nathan. This is week four of isolation because of the coronavirus epidemic. I hope you all are doing very well. I'm praying for you. Our elders are praying for you during this time. I know it's not easy, but the Lord is still at work, and I've heard some stories about how he's at work in your lives, and I'm really encouraged to hear that. And I just want you to hang in there and let us know if you have any needs that we can meet. I've been struck this week as I've been thinking about the message that I'm about to give you, that the message of Easter is what we need to hear right now more than ever. We're in really unusual circumstances. This is Palm Sunday, and next week is Easter. Really unusual to be looking ahead to Palm Sunday and Easter under this situation. But the same message, the message of Easter, totally fits our situation, and it's what we need to hear more than ever before. The message of Easter is the ultimate answer to the problem of death. And the message of Easter is what gives us hope and confidence no matter what we're facing. So this is exactly what we need to hear right now. The text on which the teaching is based is John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27. So open a Bible to that place if you haven't already. Let me pray and then we'll jump in. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you know exactly where we are and what we're all about, what we're doing. You know everything about us, and you're with us right now. We thank you that you've spoken to us through your word, and I pray that you would just help us to see what you want us to see in your word, to hear what you want us to hear, to see your son Jesus clearly, and I pray that you would give us faith in him. We pray that your spirit would work as we meditate on your word right now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 11, starting in verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus told her. Mary said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." This is God's word. Jesus was close friends with his family that lived in a town called Bethany, which was a couple miles from Jerusalem. There were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and a brother named Lazarus. And this account is a conversation in the middle of a longer section about how Jesus raised Lazarus, the brother, from the dead after he had died. And the background of this is Jesus was in another area of the country, doing his work, doing ministry, and he got word that Lazarus had come down with a disease, had become sick. And you would think that Jesus would just pick up right then and rush off to Bethany, but he didn't. He just kept on doing what he had been doing, sharing his message with the people in the area where he was working. And then later, a couple days later, Lazarus died. And Jesus told his disciples, now it's time for us to get going and go to Bethany. And I'm glad, Jesus said, I'm glad that I wasn't there when Lazarus died so that you might believe. We're going there and I'm going to call him up. I'm going to raise him up and I'm going to do this so that you might believe. Now, the disciples didn't totally get what Jesus was saying right then, but it's interesting for us to notice that the reason Jesus's timing was the way that it was and he didn't go to Bethany right away was that he wanted the faith of the people there to be strengthened. He wanted them to believe. And so this is where this conversation picks up. This is when Jesus arrived in Bethany. He's outside the town, and the sister Martha goes out to meet him. Think about what Martha must have been feeling when she goes to see Jesus. Her heart is heavy with sadness because her brother had died just 4 days earlier. She's filled with grief. Many of her close friends from Jerusalem had already come to comfort her and to be with her through this difficult time, to mourn with her. She misses her brother. She's cut off from him now because he's no longer with her. He's died. She's full of sadness. But it's not only sadness that she's feeling. Her sadness is mixed with disappointment and regret. Here's what she says to Jesus. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, I don't think she's scolding him. She's not saying, why didn't you come? You should have come sooner. She's just expressing her disappointment that he couldn't be there, that he wasn't there. And she's also expressing her faith in him, that she still believes that he is the one who can do miracles, who can heal the sick. She believes in him. And she says to him, yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now it could be that she's hinting to Jesus that she wants him to work a miracle here and raise up Lazarus from the dead. Now maybe not, because later in the story we find out when Jesus is going to Lazarus's tomb, Jesus says, roll away the stone, and he's about to call into the tomb and bring Lazarus out. And Martha is the one who says to Jesus, don't do that. It's been 4 days. There will be an odor. So I don't know if she's hinting to Jesus that she wants him to work a miracle. It might be that she's simply saying to Jesus, I'm sad right now. I'm disappointed. I wish you had been here. I know that you could have healed him if you had been here. Now he's gone, but I still haven't lost faith in you, Jesus. I still believe that you're the one that God listens to. I still believe in you. Her experience of grief was mixed with disappointment and regret. And our experience, oftentimes, of losing someone to death is mixed with regret and disappointment and sometimes a feeling of guilt. That's true for us too. I remember I had an acquaintance when I lived in Dallas that I used to carpool to school with. He worked near where I went to school, and I rode into school with him sometimes, and I couldn't get a hold of him for a couple weeks. And then he calls and he says he's in the hospital, that he had become sick and he was in the hospital. And so Zuleika and I went to visit him, and it seemed that he was doing pretty well and that he was going to go home soon. And we prayed with him and left. And And then I didn't hear from him for a while longer. And I tried to call and I couldn't get through. And I didn't know how to get in touch with him. And later I found some of his coworkers and I asked them, you know, how he was doing. And they said, well, he's died. He passed away. And, you know, I was sad to hear that. But I also, mixed with the sadness that I felt, there was regret and disappointment. And I was feeling guilty because I knew that this man was kind of estranged from his family and he didn't have people close to him. And I felt that I should have been there with him and been closer to him and had visited him. I should have visited him more often and walked through this time with him more closely. I should have been there with him. And I felt guilty even as I felt sadness. It was a little bit like that also when my grandfather passed away. Zuleika and I were in seminary at that point, and we were living in Texas in Dallas, and he was in Arkansas. And during one of our breaks from school, we went to visit him and my granny, and he was quite ill with cancer. And we spent time with him, and then it was time for us to go back to Dallas and go back to class. So we said goodbye and we went. And I didn't just have a concept at that time. It didn't dawn on me just how little time my grandfather had left, just how sick he was. So we went back to Dallas, and just a day later, he died. And I felt the sadness, felt the disappointment, and I also felt regret and guilt because I had left, and I wished that I had been there and spent a little more time with him and had been there when he had died. So there was all these mixed feelings of sadness over losing him, of not being able to be with him, but also the disappointment, the guilt, the regret. When we lose people, we oftentimes have that mixture of feelings, not just sadness, but also disappointment and regret, and sometimes even anger. This is the reality that's hitting us right now in our country during the COVID-19 epidemic. It's coming, the epidemic, of course, is growing exponentially. More and more people are getting sick, and in the past few days, hundreds of people have died each day. And of course, people die all the time, but now we're really paying attention to it, and we feel the sadness of it, because death is always a separation, and we feel disappointment and regret and some anger. And we long for an answer. We long for an answer to this problem of death. Death is a problem. Now, some people say that death is just a part of life. Death is just part of the circle of life. And when some people die, they just make room for the next generation. But most of us aren't satisfied with that answer. We're not satisfied with the idea that death is just a part of life. That answer doesn't explain why we feel so sad, and it doesn't give us a solution to the problem of death. We feel the sadness and the separation and the anger and the disappointment. We feel all of that, and we want a better answer to the problem of death. Notice with me the solution, the answer that Jesus offers to Martha. He says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, we know that he's planning to work a miracle that day and raise Lazarus up. Martha doesn't realize that. Martha takes this as just a reference to the resurrection on the last day. Here's what she says: "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." So Martha believes in God. She believes that there will be a resurrection. And that's how she takes what Jesus says. And then Jesus goes even farther, and he explains what he meant And this is what he says in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And going back, this is the main thing he says. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is leading Martha past a general belief in God and in the resurrection to a specific and personal trust in him. Jesus is taking this abstract idea about the resurrection that Martha already believes in, and he's making it personal. He's focusing it on himself. He wants her to believe in him personally for resurrection and life. Now, this isn't a perfect illustration, but it's kind of like this. We have a general idea about what love is. Love. We've seen movies with Disney princesses who live happily ever after. We've read about love in the Bible and in other books. But sometimes there's a point in our life where that general concept of love becomes personal and it becomes focused on a person. As when you fall in love. You meet somebody that you fall in love with personally in that person, and the general concept of love becomes focused on a person. Or if you have a child and you hold that baby in your arms, the concept of love becomes focused on that little bundle in your arms. Or if you have a friend who loves you in a sacrificial way, who's there for you when you're going through a hard time and it gives you just what you need at personal sacrifice, at the cost of personal sacrifice, then love, that concept of love, becomes focused on a person. It gets personalized. It's real. It's focused. Jesus makes our hope in the resurrection, our hope in God, he makes that personal, focused on him. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he has these two sentences afterwards that explain what he means. The first sentence explains what he means when he says, I am the resurrection. The second one explains what he means when he says, I am the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And what he means is, he is the one who will raise up the dead on the last day. At the end of time, when Jesus comes back and that last trumpet sounds, Jesus is the one who will call the dead out of their graves. He's going to raise people up. He has the right to do that. He's the only one who can do that because he himself has risen from the dead. That's the message of Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead. The reason that we will rise is because of our union with him, our connection to Jesus. We follow in his pattern. He rose from the dead. As we trust in him, as we're connected to him, we will rise from the dead too. He conquered death for us when he paid the penalty for our sin with his own death. And rose again. The separation that is caused by death is because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And then he's conquered death. He's overcome death. And we have resurrection by trusting in him and being connected to him. If we're going to have eternal life, the only way is to trust in him. On the one hand, all of us will die, unless Jesus comes back first. On the other hand, we can be raised to eternal life through our connection to Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection. And Jesus also says, I am the life. There's a kind of life that's more than just being physically alive. if death is a separation, then life, the definition of life, is closeness, connection, union, fellowship. And there's a kind of life which is a closeness to God, a restored relationship to God. When our sin is dealt with, we can be connected to God again. We can have eternal life, a life that will never end, because sin can't get in the way of it anymore. Death can't get in the way of it anymore. We're connected to God again. That's eternal life. Jesus is the one that gives this to us. It comes through trusting in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And we can experience that life already, right now. That life of closeness to God, eternal life. That's our possession, that we have that now. And that eternal life can never be taken from us. It continues into the next life. That's what Jesus means when he says, everyone who lives, everyone, meaning everyone who has eternal life and believes in him, will never die. That eternal life that we have right now will never be taken away from us. It keeps going. Even though our mortal bodies pass away, this eternal life that we have with God keeps going. And then, of course, at the resurrection, we'll receive renewed, glorious bodies. Physical death is just a doorway. It's not game over. We have life with God through Jesus that keeps going. So what Jesus is calling us to is a personal faith in him, because he is the resurrection and the life. As I read this passage this week, I was looking for something that I could tell you guys about what to do. I was thinking these people need something practical that they can do while they're in quarantine during the coronavirus, something that they can work on, because we like to have things that we can work on. But the problem, or not a problem, but the reality, is that Jesus doesn't ask Martha to do anything. He just asks her to believe in him, to trust in him, and she does. She's learning how to trust in him. She understands who he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world. She knows that, and she trusts in him. She was relying on him. And that's all we're called to do too right now, is just to trust, just to believe, just to rest, to know who Jesus is, that he is the resurrection and the life, and simply to trust in him. I've been reading a book about world religions for the class that I'm taking right now. And it's interesting when you look at all the religions in the world, all the philosophies and religions of the world, they all have something that they require people to do in order to achieve salvation or achieve enlightenment or nirvana or their version of eternal life. They want people to follow certain steps or a program, to fast a certain amount of times, or pray, to give alms, to do the right kind of meditation, to go on pilgrimages, to follow the proper procedures when they worship a god. They all have these different paths and things that people should do in order to get to God. The gospel is different. The gospel says we're incapable of doing what's necessary to get to God, to overcome death. So Jesus does it for us. And we simply trust in him. Instead of climbing up that mountain to God, Jesus says, hop on my back, I'll carry you up. I'll do what you can't do for you. I'll take you there. I'll take you to God. We just trust in him. Right now, as we're facing the coronavirus, we need a hope and a confidence that'll get us through it. We don't just need an abstract belief that God is in control and an abstract general idea that one day there will be a resurrection. Now, those things are true. God is in control, and there will be a resurrection. But we have something much better than that that'll get us through this time. We have a personal relationship with Jesus, the one who loved us by giving his life to us. And we have eternal life right now through faith in him, a connection to God that we enjoy right now. And that life will continue even through the death of our mortal bodies. That life will keep going, the life that we have right now with God. And then when Jesus comes back, we will rise. We will be given new glorified bodies and live with God in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. Because Jesus rose again, we will rise. Jesus holds our future. I love the Gloria Gaither song, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the eternal life that we have in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life. And we just rest in that. We trust in you right now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.